Good morning this morning. It saved my life. I said, what'd you say? As he walked down the hallway, he said, it saved my life. I said, whoa, wait a minute. We were at Ivy Tech a couple weeks ago giving out testaments to the students. And this one young man walked by us and Paul offered him a testament. And he said, no. He said, I've got one. It saved my life. And I said, I chased him down the hall. I said, tell me about that. He said, I was in Afghanistan. And we came under fire. And he said, I had my jacket on. And the bullet hit his jacket and burrowed down horizontally. And it stopped at his heart right in that testament. Praise the Lord. It saved his life. As we gave out those testaments, we had opportunities there to witness to some of the children that come to Ivy Tech. You know, they're responsive. And it's great to see those young people to be interested in the Word of God and ask, can I have one too? You know, when I was in India, I like to talk about India. And as we went into the schools, we had to rent taxi cabs because if you don't rent a taxi cab, you're going to get lost. Because I was at one corner that had six highways coming into it. You never know which one to take. But we went to this school, and every school that we went, one school was founded in 1860s. And the students would all rise, and they would say, good morning, sir, as you had an opportunity to speak. And they sit down very quietly when they were told to sit down. What an experience it was to be in the low caste area where I was, where the women actually washed their laundry by hitting rocks upon them, cleaning them. But you know, those little guys went to school. And at one school that I attended, and I gave all the scriptures that I had, we could only carry 2,000 at a time in the taxi cab. But I had given everyone out, and I'm walking out with one in my hand. And a little boy kept running after me. And he was saying something in Hindu, and I didn't understand him. And I turned to the taxi driver, and I said, what is he saying? And he said, he wants one of those books. I said, well, ask him if he can read. And he did. He said, yes, he can read. I said, good. I have one left, and I'm going to give it to him. And when I gave him that scripture, he had his little brown bag of lunch, and he wanted to give me his lunch. And I said, oh, no, don't do that. And the taxi driver turned to me, and he said, when you give him something because he said today was his birthday, he must give you something back. And I said, okay. And the taxi driver talked to him in Hindu, and he reached down that little brown bag, and he opened up this little piece of hard candy and gave it to me. I take it every time I go to speak, because how humbling that was to have that little boy chase me down for the Word of God. And oftentimes, I have prayed for that one testament because I know that the Holy Spirit will work with that boy. Who knows? I wished I had taken his name and been able to correspond with him. But that's a long story too. But in India, I have spoken so many times throughout the last few years. But today, the country India now requests 1 million Bibles and testaments each month. And that's what we're shipping each month to the country of India, because the doors are open there. Although there is the BJP people, they have a problem with that. They'd like to stop it and put it against the law. But you know, God has opened those doors to that marvelous country. It's so large. It's 17% of the world population in India. And it's elbow to elbow. Chris Snotopoulos, he and his dad were drug dealers. And one night, the police charged into their home, shot and killed his dad. They were big drug dealers. And Chris kept on dealing drugs. And they never caught him. One day when he was at his friend's house several years later, there was a little green testament laying on the counter. And Chris picked it up and stuck it in his pocket and took it with him. And he read that, and he kept reading and reading. And finally, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Gave up his drug dealing. And he went to a Gideon meeting. And he joined the Gideons. And he finally confessed to the Gideons that there was a warrant for his arrest. So the Gideons decided the best thing for you to do is to give yourself up. So they convinced him to go to the police, and he gave himself up, and they put him back in jail because there was a warrant for his arrest. And Chris says, he was the only Gideon in jail that received his Gideon papers, and he was able to correspond, and he served his time in jail. And he came back out as a pastor, preaching to those inmates. I think there was a time that he said he had went to the jails and ministered to the inmates. He had 600 conversions by just preaching to the inmates, because he was one of them at one time. You know, we believe that the Bible, someone asked, why do you do this? Well, we believe that the Bible is inspired, inerrant, and omniscient. You know, God in the Psalms talks about placing his word above his many names. That's pretty high level for me when you think about it, because his name is above all names, but his word is above his names. And glory to God that we have the opportunity to read, to understand his word, to live by his word. Bobby Cole was a young man in my Sunday school class many, many years ago. When he finished laying carpet in our home, he got in his car and he was headed to the dentist. And on his way to the dentist, a drunk driver hit him head on. Bobby was brain damaged, was in a coma for several years, right down the street from where I live. It was in a nursing home, and he would just lay there, and they would feed him. As the years went by, I would go by and stand by his bed and pray for him. He didn't know I was there. And finally, he was able to sit up in a wheelchair. And he always wanted to feed himself. And he loved popcorn. And I would take him a big bag of popcorn. And when he finished, he'd have popcorn everywhere. One day when I was traveling back to Brazil, it was raining. It had been raining all morning, and I'd come from Rockville and through Terre Haute and got railroaded naturally and came on to Brazil. And I came up a street that I don't normally drive up, and here down the street came a Gideon friend of mine who was walking to his car. It was raining, and I stopped, and I said, get in. I said, I want you to go with me to pray for Bobby Cole. He said, okay. So we went. We prayed for Bobby. And I don't know if it ever registered to Bobby, if he ever heard that or not. But we prayed for him. And we left, and we decided, as we came in the back door, we decided to go back the back door, and we passed two men sitting on wheelchairs. One man, we stopped, and we said, sir, are you saved? And he nodded his head. He was saved. And we turned to the other fellow, and Steve asked him, he said, sir, are you saved? And he shook his head, no. He said, would you like to be saved? And he pulled out his testament, and turned to the back, and he read the plan of salvation to him. And you know, the man accepted Christ. He said he wanted to go to heaven. And we led him to the heaven. And we left rejoicing, although we didn't get to pray for Bobby like we wanted to, but we met one man who was headed for hell. A couple of weeks later, I come back and I, by myself, and I go to pray for Bobby and see how he's doing and take him some popcorn. And I was left again to the same door. There that one man sat in a wheelchair, and I said, hey, where's your partner? He said he died right after you fellows left. God has a mysterious way sometimes. I finished speaking at a church in Brazil. And after I finished, a young man came up and he said, can I talk to you? Can I talk to you? And I said, sure. So I followed him down the hall to one of the rooms. He said, you know, when I enlisted during Vietnam, he said, years ago, I had received a little red testament in school. That's when we could go to school. And he said, I took that with me. I just stuck it in my pocket. I thought, you know, that may bring me good luck when I go to Vietnam. He was in a firefight. They were dug in trenches, taking heavy, heavy artillery. And he said, all of a sudden, the two men on my left were killed. And my best buddy to my right was wounded very seriously. And he said, I grabbed him. And he was bleeding very bad. And he said, I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, I reached in and got this little red testament out. And I started to talk to him about it. But the Lord... And he said, I asked him, would you like to be forgiven of your sins? And he nodded his head. And he said, I prayed for him. And he kept nodding his head as I prayed for him to be forgiven of his sins. And my buddy died in my arms in Vietnam. Lee Jong-sung was a North Korean. He was a communist, a devout communist. He worshiped his leader as a Lord and God to him. And at 27 years old, he was in charge of the Labor Party in North Korea. And he decided he wanted to be a communist spy. So he and eight men infiltrated South Korea and spied. And finally they were caught and put in prison. And they were put in solitary, each one. They couldn't talk to one another. The only book in those solitary confinements was a little testament like this one. And he said he kept looking at that book. He looked at it for 9 years, never touched it, because he was taught that it was all full of lies. After 9 years, he decided to pick it up and read it one day, and he couldn't put it down. 15 years later, when he was discharged from prison, he had led many inmates to the Lord. And today he is a pastor in South Korea. From a little book, many are saved. Last year, 91 million Bibles and testaments were placed throughout this world. It's been 3 years since I had the opportunity to come and speak to you. And during that 3 years, 292 million Bibles have been placed. And you, as a partner, share in the blessings of that. You have given your support for many years. And God's not going to forget that, because you are blessing His word to go out into the world. And it's for $1.16, you can buy a scripture like this. And that includes the printing, that includes the taxes, that includes the shipping, that includes someone, somewhere, somehow, to somebody giving that scripture. Did I lose my microphone? I'm good. When I speak sometimes, those stories touch my heart and my eyes water up. And I don't know why. I've never asked God to stop that, but He lets it rain on the just and the unjust, so I guess it's all right. I am humbled sometimes when I speak, because I'm like the man on the radio that says he's seen a lot and he can do a lot. Well, I've seen a lot and I can talk a lot. I go back to India. We were distributing Bibles down, as I said, in the low-caste system. And that day I was with the international president and Terry Boone, who lives in California. And we were passing out Bibles just as fast as men could go by, or women or children. And we was having a great time. And all of a sudden, Lloyd, the international president, said, let's move on, see if we can find a school or a hospital or something. And so we started to move, but we looked around, and Terry wasn't there. He said, Thomas, go look at it. Go look for Terry. I said, there's no way I'm going to leave you. I'd get lost as soon as I turned my back. He said, we got to find Terry. We can't leave without him. So I started down this dirt path, and I walked about 50 feet, and there was Terry with his knees on the ground, his arm around a Hindu, and his knees on the ground. And Terry had this little book out and going through the plan of salvation in the back, leading him to the Lord on that little dirt path. You know, God's timing is perfect. That man may have never had the opportunity to have a little testament or to have somebody to pray for him. But that time was right. And he was able to accept the Lord. You know, one thing the Hindus love to hear is about eternal life. Because, you know, they pray to 33 million gods. And that was a very difficult time to be in India. and to be on the street, and they would, I didn't mind the cows and the dogs and everything running into the grocery stores or whatever and walking around. I didn't mind that. But what I did, to see those statues that those people would go to and kneel before and place flowers and even food to those statues. You know, Paul reminded the Corinthians, I think it was, or someone, that he said, you know, those things don't talk, they don't do anything. Why worship them? Worship the true God in heaven. Can I introduce you to Dr. Jesus? Would you introduce me to Dr. Jesus? I want to talk to Dr. Jesus. Young man came to a pastor and he said, I have a little book that they gave me in school. And he opened it up and it was a testament. And he was reading to the area where Jesus healed the blind man. And this young man said, my father had caught the flu and the infection has settled in his eyes and he's going blind. Can you introduce me to Dr. Jesus? The pastor talked to him and explained to him. And the pastor prayed for him. And when the young man went home, he found out that his dad could see again. God had healed that man when the young man went searching for Jesus. And today, that man, the young man, who wanted to be a doctor, ended up being a pastor and went to England to study, to come back to his country, to witness about the power of God. I found, talking to the Hindus, when they become Christians, and I spoke in two churches in India, and when they read a scripture about the healing that Jesus did, they believe, when they pray, they expect it. And I've seen time after time how God has worked and healed after they had their prayers. In one church I spoke in, it was looked like an old tire shop because there was trash all around it. Some of the buildings never kept up in that area where we were. Even the taxi driver didn't want to go down there because it was the low caste system. And they told me where I had to go, and I gave instructions to the taxi driver, and he took me to this church. And so a man was waiting for me outside and greeted me. And he said, where you're going to speak is upstairs. So as I went by the first floor, he said, oh, those are Muslims and they're praying. He said, you're going to go upstairs. He said, when they become Christians, the Muslims go upstairs when they become Christians. And I saw the Muslims on their prayer mats. And when I went upstairs to speak, they were sitting on their prayer mats. And when I started to speak, they said, well, you have two interpreters. Now, it's very hard to speak with one interpreter, but you got two interpreters. And I spoke to him. And afterwards, the one man turned to me and they said they want to have a prayer service and they want you to pray for their sick. And they brought the sick where I was standing, carried him. Some they came by themselves. Have you ever had the opportunity to pray for a past Muslim who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They wanted their hands laid on them, on their head. And I prayed for them. They totally inspected after that prayer to be healed. Do you know they took an offering that day? And when I saw the man with the money, you know, it's 35 rupees to a dollar at that time. He had a basket full of money. And he was crying. One of the interpreters came to me and said, you need to go talk to him because he wants to give you this money for the Gideons. Do you know when we got it back and they exchanged that mound of money, it was $540. You know, those people live from, they work. There's no Social Security or funding for them. And they go to work each day to earn money. Then they take it home and they buy food to eat with. And then they go back to work the next day. But they do send their children to schools. Not like our school corporations. These are private schools. For a dollar a week, they will send their children. A lot of those little guys speak English. Out on the playground, I was giving out scriptures at a school, a little girl come up and tugged my coat. She said, "Praise the Lord, sir." That's something you just don't hear in that part of the country. She said her daddy was a preacher. Dr. Pinto, I met, owns 52 schools. In his schools are 150,000 students. And these schools are scattered all throughout Calcutta. When we finished with Dr. Pinto in his office, he said, you know, I had a man several years ago come to me and want to distribute Bibles. And I told him there's no way that he could do that because I have 150,000 students in these schools, and they come in shifts, like workers would go at 4 to 12 and so forth. They come in shifts, but they want an education. And he said, one thing I'm going to do, that when they accept this book, they're going to be tested on it. Try that in America. But he said, they will be tested on it. And can you assure me that all my students will have a scripture? And we said, yes, God can do it because we have the scriptures. And I think at that time we had about 140,000 scriptures with us. And we were keeping him in the Mark Butane Assembly of God Church there in Calcutta, they opened their doors to us and housed us at times and took us places and fed us. One of the great things that has happened since my time in India is that the travel that I did to speak, the request for me to come to speak, which I thought was, Why would they ask me? Why don't they ask somebody else? But you know, I prepared an hour and a half today. And Pastor only asked me to speak about 30 minutes. So I may leave some on the table. But one thing that's happened to me is a Sunday like this. I've had the opportunity to speak in I don't know how many churches. I counted 200 one time and I quit counting. Bobby and I, for the first year I was home from India, first year of Gideon travel time, was 35,000 miles in the state of Indiana speaking. And the only reason I think people wanted to hear from me, they knew I went to India. And do you know your mom used to tell you, eat all your peas because there's kids in India going hungry? It's the only thing I could think of that they wanted to hear how their children were. There's a lot of ministries going in India. My son-in-law travels there about once every other year to support a missionary there. The prayer today for China. Yes, we can distribute Bibles in China, but we have to be guarded by the Chinese government. And they will take us to different churches, and we can put the Bibles in the churches. Just recently, a group went and they visited 25 churches and placed Bibles there. Our prayer today would be for China and open doors. For this time in our history, it looks like that would be very important to have Christians in China. And we knew when going into the Soviet Union, into Russia, how difficult it was going to be. But all of a sudden, the doors opened. And do you know there were semis going to meet the ships, bringing in Bibles for Russia? And they took semis to unload and fill them and take them to different places in Russia. Many Christians have come from Russia. How God can use His Word, just like it was read before. The hope you have, when you pass this Bible out, God says that that's not going to return unto Him void. That's a good thing. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Thank you. I know Baptist says amen. Some people say amen. I like to say amen. I was baptized as a Baptist. My mother played piano and organ for 50 years in a Baptist church, Big Walnut Baptist. But I thank you for your partnership, because without your partnership, there would be no Gideon International. We only receive funds from three different ways: churches, from the Gideons, and from the in memory cards. And I have just a few talks, just a few messages for this. When Lyle Monette, associate pastor of the church that Bobby and I attended for many years, when he retired, the church gave $960 to buy Bibles in his honor for his service as an associate pastor. 5 years later, Lyle went to be with the Lord. And they gave another $500 or so. Do you know that a lot of those Bibles, and we're talking about full Bibles, I think the total was around 300 and some Bibles that were placed in his memory and in his honor. Going to a hotel, I know a lot of people associate the Gideon ministry with seeing Bibles in hotels, but there's a lot of conversions in hotel rooms, and that's another story. And I see that about time for the pot roast to be done. I want to thank you and your pastor. I tell you, I love your pastor. Because he's got a good friend that I love also. So thank you again for your support. I hesitate on being here, but I don't want to wait till the next 3 years. It's been 3 years since I've been here. Because I enjoyed your Sunday school class, and we weren't able to make it because I wasn't feeling that well this morning myself. And I have trouble with my eyes watering since I've had this flu. But again, I thank you for your time, and we will be at the back, as the pastor has said.